This is Holly Pruitt. I'm a life cycle celebrant and home funeral guide and co-developer of the free new public information web resource, OregonFuneral.org.
I am Kelia Carver, and I am a bereaved mother and a rancher and a home funeral advocate.
Well, thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. Kelia, do you want to talk about your story and how the need for the Oregon Funeral Resources website came about for you?
So my son Max died in February 2018. He got away from the babysitter and went out on a pond and fell through the ice and drowned. After his body was retrieved by the sheriff's deputy, he was life flighted to St. Charles Bend, and there he was declared dead. And at that time, after he was declared dead, my husband and I were sitting in the room. The trauma team had cleared the room. I turned to Blaine and I said, I want to bring him home. I want to bury him at the ranch. We need to take him home. And so then we had to go, and we were interviewed by the state police. While we were interviewed by the state police, I believe, the medical examiner, the Deschutes County deputy medical examiner, was with the body. And then she came in to this little consultation room and was talking with us and explaining the process, how she had done her thing where she checked out the body. But then the next morning, there needed to be a big phone meeting with her and the state medical examiner and the state police and the Wasco County Sheriff and the Wasco County DA and maybe some other people, because it was the death of a child and it had to be investigated. And I said, okay. But after all that, I want to take him home. And she said, oh, I don't think you can. You could tell, like, you don't become a medical examiner because you're not on people's side. You do it because you're trying really hard to right the wrongs of the world. That's the sort of personality that does this sort of terrible thing. And the chaplain went out and he got the photocopied list of local funeral homes and handed it to us. We were really left with the impression that we had to hire a funeral director. And so I couldn't bear to go home that night. Like, I couldn't leave him 2 hours away from home. And so we stayed at a hotel in Bend. And the next morning, my husband called the local funeral home and made arrangements. And I was like, well, you have to tell them that they can't do anything. They can't do anything to his body. We'll come back. We'll dress him. We'll put him in the casket. If they have to pick him up from the hospital, so be it. But we'll come get him. And then it just went on from there. So at our ranch, we have a cemetery. It turns out our cemetery is on the Oregon State Parks Historic Cemetery list, and thus is exempt from annual registration with the Oregon Cemetery and Mortuary Board. And the funeral home director said he couldn't release the body because the cemetery wasn't registered and we should call the county, but then the county clerk was useless. Nobody was helpful. It was amazing how astoundingly unhelpful everybody was. And our 4-year-old son had just died. And you're just a wreck. So we eventually called a local small town lawyer, and he said, man, it's pretty unexceptionable to bury your son in a cemetery on your ranch. I think you should just do it. And so we did. We went back to Bend and we dressed Max and we put him in the casket and we loaded him on the back of the flatbed truck and wrapped him up in blankets and drove him home and we buried him in our cemetery. And it's actually one of the funny things in my mind now that I've learned a little bit about green burial, is that grave was like 11 feet deep. So Scott and Uncle Rob, they dug the best damn grave they could. The best damn grave was the deepest grave. So we had our own cemetery and we buried him, and that's where he is. But I always had this niggling in my mind. Was that really right? Did we really have to hire a funeral director? Maybe 6 or 7 months after his death, I was wandering around buying grief books on Amazon, and Amazon showed me this book called Undertaken with Love. And I bought it, and in the back, there are links to the National Home Funeral Association and the Funeral Consumers Alliance. And I followed those links, and I found that there were four names listed as home funeral guides in the state of Oregon, and I emailed all four, and I said, look, I think this is legal. I can't figure anything out. Just give me some clue of where to start searching. I just don't even know how to begin the research. And Holly emailed me back and said, funny, I'm just starting this project on this exact same topic of the fact that nobody in Oregon knows what Oregon law says about death care. And so that is kind of how this website, OregonFuneral.org, came to be.
So Holly, you're a life cycle celebrant. Can you describe what that is and how then you saw a need for this?
Well, after many decades of working as a community organizer and activist and advocate for a variety of social justice causes, I wanted to address the kind of vacuum that I was noticing, including in my own family when my father died, that with cremation rates so high in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest, it's really simple not to pause to do anything when a death occurs. Just get the cheapest cremation you can get. The body's taken away in a body bag. And then in the case of my dad's death, I was given a yogurt container with some of his ashes a few weeks later by my stepmother, and no funeral, no memorial. That's becoming the default because the conventional ways of doing it may not feel very relevant. They may feel way too expensive. And so after I trained in being a celebrant, which I describe as kind of like a secular clergy person, it's a way to help people find a path to honor a death or another life transition that's happened, whether it's a marriage or retirement or the birth of a baby, that type of thing, when they don't have an intact religious tradition or intergenerational family that can kind of lead them through those practices. Through that work, I learned about the home funeral movement, which helps people take care of their own dead, not just ceremonially, but also with the actual practicalities where you could file a death certificate on your own if you wanted. You could provide the transportation on your own if you wanted. You can actually, under Oregon law, legally bury on your own property. It doesn't have to be a registered or historic cemetery, as Kilia's family ranch actually had, as long as you've got permission from the county planning commission and a few other stipulations are met. And it struck me that while the notion of befriending death has become kind of popular in certain circumstances, certain circles, New York Times did an article, death is having a moment in the sun, that there's still very little focus on the legalities and the practicalities and a lack of state-specific information, not only for families like Kilia's, but for the chaplains, the medical examiners, the first responders who are so used to the default of asking what funeral home should we call that they're actually not aware that they are preferencing a commercial option when, under Oregon law, families are not required to hire out for any of those services. So it was really powerful to hear Kilia's story and realize that the authorities that she was seeking to educate at this point could make use of an information source like this, just as all the families out there could as well.
What's the most common misconceptions about this whole process?
People don't know anything. So to go back to Max, Max was a 4-year-old boy. 4-year-olds are little. Right? They don't weigh anything. They're easy to carry around. But you still got all of these things like, but what would you do with the body if you took it home to the ranch? Laid it in his bed. Well, how would we bring it home? Mom and Dad, you are driving a Honda hatchback. He's 4 years old. He'd fit in the trunk. It's that level of unknowingness. People just can't even conceive of what would be done. But I think that if you sit there quietly, if you're the bereaved parent and you sit there quietly, you will do something sensible for your child. That is what parents do. is they take care of their children. If you can take care of your child while they're alive, you have all the skills needed to sit there, to come up with something sensible and comforting that isn't going to harm anybody and perhaps will do a great deal of good for your own family.
Those sort of family instincts and that aspect of being human and how we care for each other is something that was commonplace even in the dominant culture of the United States until about 100 years ago, and is still the practice in many cultures and communities, whether they have a faith tradition that takes over or, you know, in a Muslim burial where a lowering device isn't used, the shrouded body is actually just handed to those who've come down into the grave to receive the body. So this is not mysterious in terms of human experience, but in our culture and dominant North America, we've lost touch with this, such that, for example, one of the medical authorities that we asked to review the site for accuracy, who's been a nurse practitioner for decades in Oregon, said, "I never knew that families didn't need to hire a funeral director." Hospice workers routinely, one of the stories on the site is from a woman who buried her own child at home after death occurred in childbirth, and said to me in her work in hospice that she's heartbroken to have to hand these sheets of funeral homes to families because there's been no other way to communicate this missing piece of information. It's too complex at that point in the process. Now, actually, alongside, here's the local funeral home, should you choose to use one, and OregonFuneral.org is a place that you can also get information about how you might want to purchase only the goods and services you want and need from commercial providers, or find out how you can do it yourself. One other example of that misconception is a friend of mine. Her family story is also featured on the site. In the Learn More section, the stories, I think, just really tell so many different examples of both obstacles that families have run into, but also how they've worked around them. But a friend of mine who used her family's right to actually file the notice of death and death certificate with the county authorities. There's no reason why you have to hire a funeral director to do that. And when she went in to file with the county authorities, they had never received a paper filing. And they had to call the state and ensure, can we actually do this? And they were excited. They were excited to serve that family in that way. But she had to be the one saying to them, we actually have the right to do this. Mm-hmm. She worked with a supervisor at the care facility where her father was going to be dying and said, we'll be taking him out the front door to his burial site. And they had never had that happen. She said, he came in through the front door. We'll take him out through the front door. The removal by the funeral home had always been discreetly done through the service elevator. It's a place where people go to die. The fact that a death occurred actually might not need to be hidden, but it takes someone prepared to actually not only be in their own grief, but probably to have to be an advocate because everybody they're encountering has not actually realized this is legal and that this could be actually a healthy alternative and that it's doable.
One of the things that I've thought about a lot, because my family is full of nurses, all of them are like, oh yes, I've been the person at the patient's bedside handing out the funeral home list. This is a big issue for them to be able to practice and serve families with integrity. If they don't know, if nobody in the higher parts of the organization, in administration, is willing to make this a hospital policy, then they're having this unfortunate thing where the people working under them cannot practice with integrity. And so I got a wonderful note back from one of my little sister's good nurse friends, and he said, I was just sick to my stomach when I read this, because I've done that 100 times now, handing out the funeral home list to a family. So there's protecting families, but there's also allowing those people who are drawn to serve humanity through doing medicine or doing law enforcement or being a first responder, allowing them to have this information so that they can do their work with integrity.
Kelia has already achieved a very powerful result from going back to the authorities who made these mistakes when Max died. The state's acting chief medical examiner, Dr. Sean Hurst, who we had review the site for accuracy, had the chance to modify the in-service training for all county medical examiners with the information that Kelia brought to him when they had to acknowledge that their network of investigators had not been accurately trained. And he's pledged that that training will continue to be updated and accurate going forward. So we're asking three things of anybody in a hospital, a hospice, a first responder situation, law enforcement. First, think about asking a better question. Instead of what funeral home would you like us to call, ask, how can we assist you with making arrangements so that you're not implying that something is legally required when it's not? Second, if you are in a position to hand out local resources, the local funeral homes, they do that because they can't recommend a specific one. But they shouldn't be only recommending commercial options. They now have a simple link, OregonFuneral.org, that can be put on those lists of local resources so that families can take a look at what their options are. And lastly, in-service training. Make sure that their staff are not in the position of misinforming people about the law. And for everybody else out there who's not in that kind of position of authority, we just really encourage to take a look at the site before it's needed and share it with other folks. You can download from the site a basic handout, leave it at your local coffee shop, put it up on the bulletin board, hand it out at your PTA meeting, and just help us get this information out there. And if you have a story to tell or you'd like us to come and talk to your community group, we've got a contact form on the website, and we'd love to hear your feedback or hear how we can partner to get this information out.
Thank you so much, OregonFuneral.org.